Let's open up the scriptures. Open up to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Title of this talk will be Humbled. Now, I was thinking about whether it be a title about humility or humbled. But humbled means that we have been humbled. And I'm sure all of us have experienced something in our lives where we have been humbled. And it's so important. Being humbled, it helps us grow. The Lord likes, as we'll go through some scriptures, likes those that are humble. And so we shouldn't be afraid of being humbled because the end result is a good thing. We grow closer to God and we live this life. And I'm sure there'll be plenty more times where we go through things in our life where we need to be humbled by the Lord. But it's actually a really good thing. It's that kind of refining aspect. And so humility is such a vital aspect of our walk in the Lord. And through all humility, we look to him and the scriptures. So here, Proverbs chapter 16, start with the famous one, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's often misquoted. It's often said pride goes before a fall. But it doesn't say that. It said pride goes before destruction. So pride can actually come in so many forms. Man, I keep learning more forms of pride. It just on and on, different aspects of what constitutes pride. And pride is destructive. You know, if we have an attitude of pride, lifting ourselves up, then that goes before destruction, before the Lord. It's quite a strong term, destruction. You will be destroyed before the Lord. But then it goes on, a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, haughty, if someone's haughty, it means they're arrogant. They have a tendency to elevate themselves, you know, like showing off and saying things and doing things to puff themselves up, to show that they're really good. And, you know, having an avenue of proving oneself has always been right. And that's what haughty is. So if you have those things, arrogance, elevating oneself, proving oneself as right, then that comes before a fall, which is pretty similar to destruction. If we go over the page, chapter 18, and verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honour is humility. Okay? Honour is a good thing. It's good to have honour. Have been pulled up out of the miry clay. The Lord hearkens unto our voice. We have honour before the Lord. And even amongst men here on earth, it's good to have honour. But it says here, before honour is humility. So a pathway to honour and being honourable is being humble. That humility that in the heart, deep in the heart, in the attitude, in waiting for honour to be bestowed upon you instead of forcing honour, because then it's shallow. It leads ultimately to destruction. But before honour is humility. And as I was putting this together, I was just thinking that nowhere in the scriptures does God actually encourage us to prout about proving how right we are. He doesn't encourage us to do that. He encourages us to be meek. He encourages us to be humble, to be of a contrite spirit. And we'll read that scripture as well, that amazing scripture in Isaiah about the contrite spirit. So humility, so vital. I mean, Jesus himself humbled himself unto death. He was God in the flesh. He humbled himself to the first point of being born in the tabernacle of a man. That's an incredible humility. But then through his life, he grew up and then he humbled himself to death. So he was the one man who could say, nah, I'm right. He was the one man who could prout about proving how right he was, because he was the Son of God. He was righteous. He was pure in man. But he didn't. He humbled himself and took on all that whipping and all that abuse and just humbled himself. No, I'm wrong. Jesus himself said that he was wrong, you know, which is amazing, so that then we could have life. And he has now been raised up and now sits on the right hand of God. He was that lamb, that sacrificial lamb, as it goes through in Revelation, that's been raised up to great honour. Who is worthy to loose the bands of that book? Who is worthy? Who has the honour? And that's Jesus Christ. And it was through the only reason he gained that honour and that worthiness to loose the book of life was because he humbled himself first. So he was this great example to us, the benefits of humility and looking to God in all humility and also to others around us. Luke chapter 6. And praise the Lord, even when we were first had the scriptures expounded to us, we were humble enough. And that there's that first act of humility. And the Lord answered. He hearkened unto that humility. But then we need to be reminded how important it is to be humble before the Lord and before others. Luke chapter 6 and verse 41. And why beholdest thou the mote, or the little speck, little splinter, that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam, or the whopping great big plank, that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of brambles, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. It's interesting how I was originally going to read just the first two verses, you know, about the splinter and the mote in each other's eye, but then it just flowed on about the tree. You know, verse 43, it says, for a good tree. It's like it's explaining what was going on beforehand. And this splint and this plank, that's like a blemish in someone's character. And so we might look at someone and say, oh, look, you know, oh, they shouldn't do that, and they shouldn't do this, and they shouldn't do that. Well, that, in a way, you're blinded by this plank in your own eye. You're forgetting the fact that they are spirit-filled, that they are righteous before God, but yes, they're still dwelling in the flesh. And remember that you also do things wrong. You know, you've got this plank, you can't see properly that we're all human beings. We all, as Sonia said, like in our own righteousness, just fall so far short of God's righteousness. So how dare we look at, you know, the filthy rags of someone else? Look at the spirit. Once you have removed your own plank, then you can see clearly and you can realise that this issue you've got is just a little splinter. You know, you can look over, it's just a splinter. It's all right. We all have splinters in our eye. And so there's that humility before the people around us as well. And then it flows on so smoothly about the tree that brings forth fruit. And you can tell someone, whether they are of a humble spirit or whether they're proud or whether they're haughty, by the fruit that they bear, you know. And if they bear good fruit, you know what they're like deep in their heart. And so you look at the fruit that comes about and then you can start seeing clearly. You can see this thing. Yes, there's good fruit there. So deep down, there's a good thing. You know, they're looking to the Lord, they're praying, you know, they're searching the scriptures and they're following and they're serving God's ways. You know, that's that humility as well. You're humble enough to realise that, yes, we all are human beings and this person is bearing good fruit. So that speck doesn't matter. We just rejoice. Rejoice before the Lord. John chapter 8. famous account here. John chapter 8 and verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him, Jesus Christ, a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So incredible, incredible example here. These people, they left from the eldest to the youngest because they realized they were not worthy to cast a stone. They realized through their life experiences, and it said before that it's probably significant that it was the eldest that left first and then the youngest that left last. As you get older, you pile more and more mistakes. I used to joke, before I came to the Lord, I used to joke around that was the purpose of life, was to accumulate as many mistakes as possible. I couldn't see any other point of life. So yes, we know, we just keep making mistakes. And even this lady who committed adultery, and you read the Old Testament, it's very clear. Anybody who was taken in adultery was worthy to be stoned. So the Pharisees were right. They were spot on. But Jesus here was providing a great example that if you sin, you sin. Whether it's little or big, it doesn't matter. It's sin, you know, regardless. And this lady, yes, was worthy of death under the old law, but we're looking at a new way now. We're looking at a new path of righteousness, of purity in the spirit, where mistakes are happening, but through humility and that contrite heart, realizing, no, I made a mistake, then move on, okay? And Jesus was so gracious. He said he was the only person who was worthy to cast a stone. He was worthy to cast a stone. He had no plank. He had no splinter in his eye. He could judge with clarity. So he was the only one who could cast a stone, but he didn't. He humbled himself so much so, no, I've come here to set people free. I've come here to grant unto people life and that more abundantly. I've come here for a good thing. Instead of accusing people, no, I want to set them free. Yes, the old law, all those thousands of years have established what sin is and have granted unto human beings to realize what God sees as being sin so they could judge righteously in that way. All those years training people how sinful we are and how far we are from God. And then comes Jesus Christ to fulfill the law, to set us free. In a way, God, I believe, had to define the gap between us and him. And he did that through the law. Once that was defined, he could then show how gracious he was to bridge this impossible gap. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Let us be free. Let us look to the Spirit. It's all about the Spirit. I realize I say that a few times, but it is all about the Spirit. You know, it covers the iniquities of the flesh. It's all about the Spirit. So let us look at the Spirit. Look at the spiritual things in other people's lives. Look at the good fruit they're bearing. Look at that, like Jesus Christ did. Where there's life, there's hope. That's another wonderful saying. It probably comes from the world, but it's a wonderful saying. Where there's life, there's hope. And that's what Jesus saw in this woman, condemned, but she was alive. So there's hope. You know, there's hope that she can turn from her ways. That's what it says here. Sin no more. Turn from your ways. I see this humble spirit in you. Turn from your ways. There's a bright future ahead. No more condemnation. And so that then you can follow me in freedom. without being caught back by this feeling of unrighteousness and impurity before God. Luke chapter 18. We've been set free, so we want to see others set free as well. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You know, I just love, you know, this often happens in a meeting, you know, a testimony might come up and it ties in with the scriptures. And so here's this righteousness thing. And he's saying it to people that trust in themselves. They trust in themselves that they're right. They trust in themselves that they're good. They trust in themselves that they are following the right way, you know, in themselves. They're kind of justifying themselves, like in an effort, justifying that, yes, I'm right. But it's trusting in themselves that they're righteous. And then it adds, and then as a result of that, they despise others. Because they see, I'll read the parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. You know, he's justifying himself within himself that he's righteous. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, and he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. And Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. So this example of humility, this publican was so humble, he was contrite in the heart. And he knew that he was a sinner. He acknowledged that. Whereas this other human being, a Pharisee, he was trusted in himself that he was righteous. And he was proving himself. So like, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even like this publican. You know, but look at what I do in my own effort. You know, trying to justify himself. Not realizing that he's a human being as well. He's a person and he makes mistakes. You know, he does things that are wrong before the Lord. You know, the Lord knows all things in our heart, in our mind, and what he sees it all. And also, a while ago, I was just reflecting on this. Sometimes we can be drawn into this. I was just thinking when I was praying this time, I said, sometimes even saints, we can sometimes think, oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm not, what's the right word, not subjected to the same trials as someone else. You know, thank you, Lord, that, oh, I don't need to be delivered from so many things. You know, in a way, we're kind of, I mean, we are praising the Lord, like it's wonderful that we're in that position, but in a way, we're kind of walking in a different path to others, you know, and we think that we in ourselves are walking a better path than someone else. But we're all together. We're all in this. We all have different experiences. We all have different trials. We all have different revelations. We get things and we don't get things. Like everyone here, there's some things that we don't understand. There's other things that we really do understand that someone else might not. So it can be difficult, but to be humble before the Lord and not to trust in ourselves that we are righteous. We acknowledge that we are righteous. You know, it's kind of this odd thing. We have that cloak of righteousness, but it's a day-to-day walk. And every day we get up, right, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Right, Lord, you are my Lord, and I need you in my life as number one. It's a day-to-day thing. When I was growing up, Dad used to repeat a lot of things. And I suppose that impacted me a lot. I'm not big on repetition, But I now realize that the Lord is big on repetition. It says elsewhere, it's not grievous, but it's good for you to have these things repeated. And so I'm now finding myself repeating things because it's so important. These things that Dad always repeated, man, they're implanted in my mind. There's no doubt about it. They can't be erased. They're there for good. And so, yes, repetition's a good thing. So reminding people to be that humble person before the Lord, reminding people that, yes, wow, we have something wonderful. They have something wonderful too, like other saints. They've got a wonderful walk. They're bearing good fruit. They're growing strong, being excited about the revelations they're getting, their eyes being opened, wonderful things they're discovering as they are trusting in the Lord, wonderful testimonies that are coming up. We're all in this together. We're all part of the body of Christ. And that important aspect, that aspect of being like a little child. A little child is someone who doesn't know much. And that's what the Lord's asking us to be, is like a little child. That, Lord, you are my all in all. You know, I don't know anything compared to you, in all humility. And the Lord wants us to be like that. So much so, it says there in verse 16, for such is the kingdom of God. You know, so much so he regards that attitude of being like a child. And there's other scriptures that tie into that, the foolishness of preaching. It pleased the Lord, the foolishness of preaching. And the wisdom of the Lord is foolishness in the eyes of the world, because that's like this little child aspect. Back to chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden or invited, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So it's great. It's actually a brilliant, practical thing here for us here on earth, you know. It's just very good. It's very shameful to be sitting somewhere or like saying that you are a certain person, and then someone goes along and says, well, no, you're not actually. This person is better than you, you know. And it is shameful. I've experienced that myself. Whereas if you come forward and you sit in the lower room, or you present yourself below what you actually are, and then someone give you the praise and give you the honour, you know, that is far better. So from a practical point of view in our dealings with other people, you know, saints, and also in the world, in our workplace or whatever, it actually works. It works really well. But the Lord here, as he says in verse 11, whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted before the Lord. So this is Jesus Christ talking about the spiritual future as well, and using this practical example to show what it's actually like before him. You know, before him we're humble, and then we'll be exalted, you know, before him. But if we decide we want to exalt ourselves, and we decide within ourselves that we're righteous, he will abase us. He will humble us. And I've experienced that a few times. And it hurts, as it says elsewhere. It's grievous for a time, but at the end of it, it leads to righteousness. And you realize, wow, thank you, Lord. Thanks for giving me that clip under the ear, or thanks for knocking me across the back of the head with a crowbar. Sometimes it needs to be a bit more solid than a little clip under the ear. But you're humbled. That's where the Lord wants us to be, to have that mindset of humility. And through life's experiences, we realize that's the first position to be. And he will then exalt us. And that's why also I believe that example of when you pray in your closet. you know, then the Lord will reward you openly. And that's that humility thing, relying on God to exalt you, not yourself, because that leads to destruction. As it says, pride goes before destruction. It leads to a fall. But if we leave it up to the Lord, then that is solid. There's a solid ground there. Sometimes you have to wait, and you wait, and you wait, but it's a solid ground, and it's sure. And so let us remember to have that aspect of humility, knowing in faith that we will be exalted. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. Matthew 18 and verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So I like how it starts there, except you be converted. So we've been converted. The Lord has converted us. We have the kingdom of God dwelling in us. And so we're being converted. But then it goes beyond that. And then after that, you become as little children and you can enter the kingdom of God. But it says even, those that have humbled themselves like a child, they'll be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so there's this thing that the Lord really loves. He wants to exalt us. He wants to raise us up to be with him forever. That's his plan. That's why he called us. That's why Jesus died. He so wants that. He wants all to come to righteousness. He wants us to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the start of that is to be like little children. Little bubs. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honour is humility. So there's great words there, great encouragement. The ear that hears reproof, the ear that hearkens unto a statement that informs us that we're doing things wrong, or even hearkening unto what the Lord wants, you know, reading the scriptures or life's experiences. Oh, no, whoops, I took that wrong path. I did that. That's a shame. But your ear hears it. That person abides among the wise. And then contrary-wise, it says those that refuse that instruction, they actually despise their own soul. You know, our soul, we want our own soul to be raised up to dwell with the Lord. So if we refuse instruction, we're despising our own soul in that we're not giving our soul that eternal life to dwell with God forever. And then through hearing that reproof, we get more and more understanding. We build up more and more understanding over time. And that's where the honour comes from, is before the humility. That humility leads to honour, and that then leads to great things to our soul. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility." Make it your whole, like how you project yourself, the whole lot, clothed with humility. Humility is just clothed all around you. The epitome of humility. "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." I was just reading there. There was a work colleague that I used to work with, and she was this lady who was... the best term is very unassuming. She used to work in this kind of marketing aspect, and everyone could see that she was just very unassuming. She'd just rock up to work, she'd just do her job, and not prouting about, talking very quiet, but she was incredible. She achieved so much, and she planned things out really well, and she was this person who was clothed in humility, not expecting anything. Not expecting any honour, not just going through the grind. You know, it's just what she's got to do, you know. And then as after time, when people realised what she did, she got honour. You know, she was given, people had a lot of confidence in her, knowing that she could deliver. And she achieved some wonderful things as a result of that. Through her planning and just her dedication in just doing her job without spending all her effort in parading herself around as being so good. And so that's like us today. You know, we submit ourselves one to another. It says there, be subject one to another, clothed in humility. Okay, we put others before ourselves, as I've said a few times. Everyone else is more important than yourself. Clothed in humility and subject unto them even. I mean, it starts, that verse is just great practical advice in a society, the younger to submit to the elder. But then it goes, yea, all of you be subject one to another and let God raise us up, exalt us through our being clothed in humility. And it goes even further there, that God actually resists the proud. Nah, not interested in the proud. Nah, not at all. I'm going to wait until you've been abased. I'm going to wait until that pedestal has been cut down. And the higher the pedestal it is, the further you're going to fall. But that's a good thing, because then I can raise you up. Raise you up the way I want to raise you up, not the way you want to be raised up. And he gives grace and that unmerited favour. You know, oh, Lord, man, you're just incredible. We don't deserve this grace, but you've done it. You've raised us up. That unmerited favour. So then it says there, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Last scripture, Isaiah chapter 57, as promised. Isaiah chapter 57. It's truly remarkable words in this verse. I've read it out before. It's worth reading out again. Isaiah chapter 57. It's an incredible concept that I haven't fully grasped, but the word says it, and so that's the truth. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I'm sure we've had all experiences here where we've just been la-di-da going on through life, and then someone points out that you did something wrong, and then all of a sudden there's this just wave of contrition. My goodness, I didn't even realise. Oh, no, you're just so contrite. And that's what the Lord loves, because there's that, I believe, when we're contrite, it shows a deep desire to be subject unto others. It shows a deep desire to be there for others and to comfort others. So the Lord loves this contrite spirit. To lift us up, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And it goes even further back, you know, like greater ramifications, those that have not the Spirit, you know, and they've just been battered by the world and they're just so contrite. Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. I'm like that publican, I'm a sinner. That contrite realisation that there's a gap between that man without the Spirit and God, and then the Lord can lift him up and fill him with the Holy Spirit. But today, filled with the Holy Spirit, we also, through the contrite spirit, can be raised up and revived and made alive. Because God can work with that. God has an ability. It opens up his hand. His hand is not shortened if we're humble and we have that contrite spirit. That is why this is a phenomenal thing. And I just realised then as I'm prattling away that is why we then, being humble and of a contrite spirit, we dwell with him, right? We are raised up. And we dwell with this God in this high and lofty one, because then he can extend his right hand, his right arm, and we are his vessels here on earth where he can work through us. And so that is why it's this wonderful avenue and for us to remember to be humble before him, to follow his ways, because they do lead to righteousness.